Welcome to another episode of Chats with Clark. I'm the host, Joe Clark, and as you know, here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros, so we get straight to the point. Today, I'm here with Sandor, Alex Geierman, and Jared Anderson. Fellas, how we doing?
Good. Number one podcast in all of Cleveland, Ohio, Chats with Clark, baby.
I love it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Soon to be worldwide.
I love it. So you both are guys that I grew up with, awesome, doing some awesome things, too. So let me get a quick introduction. Jared Anderson, who are you? Who is Jared Anderson?
Well, right now I'm with the one and only Joe Clark. It's an honor to be here. It's a beautiful day outside. I'm just happy to be alive. Yeah, I grew up in Strongsville, Ohio. We all did. Go Mustangs. I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and I was only 22 months old, so before my second birthday. I kind of grew up thinking I was weird, I was different, from the rest of my friends and my classmates, and that was a hurdle that I had to overcome at a very young age. I fell in love with the game of soccer, and I did everything that I could to become the best soccer player that I could be. I remember I'd be at my friend's house, and I'd go in the bathroom and do push-ups, or I'd be at a family party, I'd be all dressed up wearing a polo or something nice, or a sweater, and I'd go and do sit-ups in a back room, or, you know, it was always on my mind to become the best soccer player that I could be, and that kind of drove me. I was able to break a couple records at Strongsville High School. I went on to Ohio State University, played soccer there for the fall, and I wanted to take my life a different path, and so I moved to Cleveland. Linked up with Alex Geierman here, and we'll touch on that in a little bit, but it'll kind of catch up to there, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
I love it. That's amazing. I did not even know that about your, like, the diabetes story.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. My insulin pump. If you're listening to the podcast, you can't see it, obviously, but here it is. I'll show Joe here.
That's amazing. Like, I feel like when you get something like that, that's kind of tough to wrap your head around right away, like, you learn how to overcome things.
Yeah, do you think had to. It's the only way. Yeah. But I'm thankful. I was so young when I got it, so I don't really remember life before diabetes. So it's kind of something that's just been part of my life since, not day one, since I was two, but since I was very young. So I'm kind of grateful that I don't know life, because I can't compare what it was like before it, because I was so young. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise that I got it at such a young age.
Yeah. And it's tremendous, too. Like, it shows such, like, grit that you had to do so well with soccer and all those sorts of things. So,
thank you.
Absolutely. And how about you, Sandor Alex Geierman?
Sandor Alex Geierman. Sort of similar story to Jared. Different type of adversity, though. Grew up in Strongsville, Ohio. My parents were immigrants, so they didn't speak the English language that well. But they were the hardest workers that I've ever met, and I think it's very important to find your why, you know, what drives you, what gets you out of bed in the morning. And I remember my sophomore year in high school, I kind of found out what my why was, and it was my parents. You know, they were the hardest workers. I saw my dad doing a lot of things that your average high school kid probably didn't see or experience, you know, it kind of got me going. And I remember as a sophomore in high school, I was like, you know what, I'm going to pay my parents back. I want to do something that they would be so proud of me for. And I started working hard at soccer. I was like, you know what, I'm going to become a professional soccer player. And I did everything that I could to reach that. And I ended up committing to play Division I soccer. And while I was there, I felt like I could be doing more than soccer. And my parents were proud. I know they were in the fans cheering me on. And they were my number one supporters. But I wanted to do bigger, and I wanted to pay them back and give them a life that they've never really had. And I was always on the phone with Jared, and he was playing soccer at Ohio State. And like I said, I was playing soccer at Cleveland State. And we're like, you know what? Let's start a business. You know, let's do something cool. Let's stop talking about it, and let's just do it. You know, so Jared moved to Cleveland. He left Ohio State, and we moved in together. And at Cleveland State University, there was an engineering building, and they were open super late at night. So we would go there from like 10 at night till like 2 in the morning, and we would just try to think of this business idea, this million dollar business idea, and brainstorm back and forth. What are we good at? And we came to the conclusion that social media is what we're good at. You know, we grew up with it. We're the experts.
Yeah.
Our parents haven't dove in as deep, you know, and don't understand it as well as we do. Let's figure out something with social media. So the next day, we're like, let's stop talking, let's act. And we hopped on the Rapid. We didn't even have a car at the time. This was our sophomore year of college.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And I mean, this thing, I mean, there were people like graffitiing. Literally, this is not, like, I'm not making this up. People were graffitiing on the seats in front of us. Like, it was pretty scary, I'm not going to lie. And we got to the Staples and we're like walking through. We're like, it's kind of a sketchy area. We got our business cards and we got back on the Rapid and we got off at Ohio City and we literally just started walking into mom and pop restaurants that day acting like we had a business.
That's amazing.
We're like, hey, we're Gen Z marketing. We manage social media accounts. Let us manage your social. And we got tons of no's, but we did get one yes from a coffee shop in Ohio City. It's called Coffee Cafe. And we got the opportunity and we took it, you know. We blew it up and we did awesome and we started to grow. I don't want to take too much of the spotlight. If you want to talk a little bit more, yeah. So we were doing that. I don't know if you had any other questions.
Dude, keep going.
Yeah,
oh, you're rolling,
yeah.
Man.
So we like I said, we grew this page, and his buddies were talking, and we started to build a clientele. And we were, you know, sophomores in college. We started to make a little bit of money. This was cool. It started to drive us. We're like, dang, this is awesome. Our hard work is starting to pay off. So while we were doing this coffee shop, you know, we were walking into every single restaurant, every single business. People started to talk about Jared Anderson and Alex Geyer. Like, what are these kids doing?
Yeah, right.
So Jordan Sanford, shout out Jordan. He's an awesome guy, big, awesome role model. He started a social media marketing company as well called Sanford Social, where he was working with some cool clients like Rolls Royce, Mercedes-Benz, Bentley, Porsche, Maserati. We started to work with Jordan. And, you know, it was awesome, and we started to take pictures of these cool cars, and we found out that we're pretty good at the car industry, and Jordan and Jared and I just kind of went our separate ways, and he was doing his thing, and we decided to go do our own thing again, and we started managing social media for car dealerships. We found out we were really, really good at it, and we just started building a clientele. And I don't know if you want to, you know, touch on anything else, or if you want me to keep going, I can keep going.
Keep going. You're on a roll. I'm not gonna stop you.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's a little bit more behind the back burner, behind the scenes. Jared and I don't drink. He's actually never taken a sip of alcohol. I've never been drunk before. And our weekends were compromised of reading a lot of books. I mean, he's probably read over 175 books. Could be wrong. I mean, you're probably right around there.
I don't
know. Something like that.
I know.
I'm close-ish, you know, probably.
Yeah.
No, but we read a lot, and we met with a lot of people, and we educated ourselves, and we're still learning, you know.
Right, yeah.
I'm still, it's a process,
always.
And I love it. And, you know, the same thing that we did with soccer on the weekends, you know, instead of partying, we were grinding. You know, not to brag or to boast, but it takes a certain type of a person to become a Division I athlete. I mean, that's sacrificing, you know, whether that was partying or hanging out with friends, you know, whatever it was. It's like you were going to say something.
No.
Okay, yeah. So we just put that same drive from soccer into business, and we started to grow and grow, and we also started public speaking as well. So we call that Deja Vu Movement, where we would go to high schools and we would speak to kids. And it was awesome, the most fulfilling thing ever, you know, getting up on stage and sharing our stories and our hardships. Like, hey guys, you're not alone. Everybody faces trials and tribulations, and it's not an easy route, you know. Everybody faces adversity. And we just kind of got up there and we were transparent. And I feel like that's really where you connect and you can resonate with somebody, is when you actually show them your downfalls and your hardships, and that you got bullied, or that you had diabetes, or that my dad was a garbage picker, or whatever it may be. You know, that kind of stuff you would relate to a kid. You know, we're not always just talking about the success. And we got up there and they loved it. And, you know, there were kids crying and coming back to us like, you guys are super motivational and inspirational. And that really drove us. And like, we kept growing and going to different school districts. And unfortunately, with COVID, it kind of died off. But
honest,
We definitely want to keep speaking and just keep pushing our business. And
yeah, because you guys have two. So like you said, you just mentioned that Deja Vu Movement, which is like a business in its own right.
Yes.
And you guys go around, it's the two of you doing your thing. And does Eli join too?
Yes, Eli.
Yeah.
Eli. He hates Eli. Eli got you, bro. It's Eli.
Thank you. And so tell us a little bit about that partnership too. So how do the three of you get to know each other? You can tell that story a little bit, or you, Jared, of course.
Yeah, I can tell the story. If you want to tell it, you can tell it.
Go ahead.
All right, yeah, so I was, we were actually the first students to ever write an invoice to Cleveland State University. So we partnered with the university,
yeah,
and we were doing some like a social media marketing campaign with them.
Beautiful.
And they were featuring this influencer with over 200,000 followers. Yui Magic. I'm like, dude, I want to get to know this person. You know,
yeah,
he seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, his magic's awesome.
Yeah. So I was in the cafeteria at Cleveland State, and he comes walking in, and I was like, oh, I have to go up to him and introduce myself. So I, you know, gave him a big welcoming. Hey, what's up? I'm Alex Geyer, man. I wanna do some business with you. You seem like a cool guy. And instantly we clicked. You know, like-minded individuals just resonate with each other, and you just, like, attract each other. I don't know. Like, I mean, even with you, you could tell you're a driven guy. You're
appreciate
doing
it.
Things.
Yeah,
we just relate, and it was the same thing, that same chemistry, and we became best friends, and best friends ever since, and we, you know, started that business venture.
That's what it's about.
He had a little different story, and it was an awesome story, so we're like, let's compromise all these together.
And that's, like, something that's awesome, is that, like, while you guys had similarities, like, with the soccer and the same background of, like, where you grew up and that kind of thing, like, he adds a different environment to that, too. You know, like, he's doing magic, and something totally different than soccer, and then having your immigrant parents or the diabetes, like, but you all have that grit, and you all have that like-mindedness that you're talking about.
Right.
That allows you to work so well together, and it's impressive because you show, like you're saying, to a group of kids with the Deja Vu movement, like, hey, we're all coming from different places. We've all had terribly different lives. Not terribly in a bad way, but, like, crazy different lives, you know? And then
Absolutely. Look
at this end result. Like, that's perfect. That's beautiful.
Right.
And it comes off as authentic. It is authentic. So.
Appreciate that,
yeah.
And it helps, too, because at the end, we say you don't have to be an athlete. We're not here encouraging you to be a magician or an entrepreneur. And it helps because Ely has a different story as well. And his result is different, but we're like-minded. And so it's not just two athletes who started a business speaking.
Right.
It's a kid from Columbia Station who was in band and played football and started doing magic and has traveled and met different people. And he's learned different lessons from what he's gone through with his life. We've learned different lessons. So we're not there on stage saying, hey, go be a soccer player. Go start a business. And do what we did. It helps kind of offer more hindsight into what he's done and what he's been able to accomplish as well. So you got to come and check out one of our speeches one of these days.
Dude, I'd love to.
I actually DM'd Joe about having him speak with us.
Yeah.
You know, I know you have a little public speaking journey here that you were trying.
We're getting the same thing. I mean, it's hard when we're getting started and then the world shuts down. It was horrible timing on our part.
That's unlucky.
I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, though.
Yeah,
and there's a reason why we're all here right now. I think we'll do something down the road.
I'm excited.
Sure.
We're doing something right now, so I'm excited to keep it going.
It's just the beginning.
100%.
Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about Andor. So, your name's Sandor. You can talk about that. Maybe give us a little bit about the company, what you guys are doing now. What is Andor?
Yeah. So, Andor is a marketing company based in Rocky River, beautiful Rocky River, Ohio. We're at the headquarters right now. But we do things differently. And the way that I say that is, I think Jared and I, again, not bragging or boasting, but I think I know we do things right the right way. So I have a quick little story that I'm going to share about kind of building your house. Jared, I've told you this story a couple times. So let me tell you a little story. So there's a guy, he works for a company, and it's a house. They build houses, this company. And he works for the owner, obviously, and he builds these amazing houses. He's the best worker for the company, and the owner loves him, and he's been working for this company for 40 years, and the houses are just exceptional. And he was getting to the point where he wanted to retire, this 40-year-old, or this however old guy. He's like, you know what, I'm done building houses. But the owner said, hey man, I want you to build one more house for me. And the guy's like, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm done, I'm retired, I've built you tons of homes. And he's like, please, I need you to build this house. You're the best at your craft. Like, nobody can do it better. And he's like, you know what, fine. So the guy's like, I'll just build this house. Just get it done, like, take shortcuts, whatever, just get it done fast. And he built this house, and he took the shortcut, and he didn't build it the right way. Basically, the moral of the story is, the owner of the company said, hey man, this house is now yours. So the guy's like, man, I built this house, and it looks good on the outside, but on the inside, it was built the wrong way, and it's just gonna crumble. So what I'm bringing to that is, I think the way that we're building Andor is doing it the right way and building these relationships with our clients and doing the best work that we possibly can and building this house the right way that will last, you know, and this company's going to grow the right way and we're going to build everlasting relationships and build a nice forefront, and it's going to be awesome, and it's going to blow up here pretty soon, I think.
I like it.
But you can talk more about the actual business. I just kind of want to share about, you know, share that.
To anyone on YouTube, too, just to interject really quickly, I'll put all the links to their social media and the company pages and all those sorts of things in the comments, so you can check that out, refer to those, and see what they're talking about in action. So
appreciate
Sounds
that.
Good. So it used to be Generation Z Marketing, mm-hmm. and we started off, as he said, with a coffee shop in Ohio City. And we were just like, hey, let us run your social media. I think it was only Instagram at the beginning. It wasn't even Facebook. It's just, let us run your Instagram page for 1 month, and then we'll chat. You can pay us if you want. You don't have to. We'll look at the numbers and the photos. And it kind of started as social media, and we still do social media management. So we'll go to a car dealership, for example, and take pictures and videos at the dealership. We'll take a car to Cleveland or to Crocker Park or wherever that may be, and so we'll take cool photos, we'll get people involved. Like today, for example, Milk and Honey were drinking their coffee, and we took a picture of coffee in front of a car, so it's a collaboration with their account, with our Instagram account, so their followers will see our stuff. So doing stuff like that, where it's not just a picture of a car at a dealership, you can drive by that and see that, you know, it's a picture of a car in Cleveland in front of a restaurant or a coffee shop with people involved. And so just managing Facebook and Instagram accounts for clients. And then it's also a video production, content creation side of the business, where we'll go and create a commercial or create a hype video or an intense thriller 60-second video getting hype for a car dealership or a resort or whatever industry that might be where we're shooting the video. But that's kind of another side of the business as well as the social media. So it started off as Generation Z Marketing. And at the beginning of this year, we're kind of sick of that name, Gen Z Marketing. It's too standard. It's like Marketing Services LLC. Like we just thought it was like too generic.
We
and
do
so,
marketing.com.
Yeah, basically. And so my last name is Anderson. His real name is Sandor. So if you put those together, it's Andor, like said on the
nice.
Wall.
Real
so
creative.
There's Andor Creative. And slap Creative at the end, and you got Boom. Andor Creative. So that's kind of where we are right now.
That's perfect. So. Do you guys both have different parts of the company that you do or specialize in? Like, do you think, like, you do better at one thing, and he's just better at the other? Or do you guys kind of just collaborate on everything? How does that work for you guys?
That's a great question. So if you want to answer.
I was going to say shortly, we work very well together. You know?
Yeah.
I remember in the beginning stages of the business, when we weren't reading as much books and didn't understand ourselves as well. I mean, we literally would, like, fight each other. Like, I remember walking to the Cleveland State Rec Center, and we were, like, at a business, whatever, discussion, and we got a little bit heated. And we literally ended up, like, punching each other. We literally, like, beating
multiple
each other
times.
Up. But, like, ever since then, like, I mean, honestly, after that fight, we haven't fought, really. We usually compromise pretty well. We understand the right things to do. He's a very good person, good morals. And I think that goes a long way, you know, doing the right thing behind closed doors. Like, I know that he's not going to go into the business bank account and spend $5 million, you know. Like, that's just the kind of person that he is. And I would like to say that I'm like that as well.
Yeah,
both of
you. And also,
I've only spent,
you.
Like, $1 million without
him. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But as you can... you did what? Yeah. But as you can tell, Alex likes talking more, and he goes out and does a lot more, and I'm more of like the back end stuff. Mm-hmm. So like, if he missed talking about something, I'm here. I like comprehending stuff, and for he's better, you know, breaking the ice and getting that introduction, and I like following up and having ideas ready and then kind of implementing them. So when you put those together, we got the icebreaker and we got the
whatever
I am, whatever you want to call me. I don't know.
No, absolutely. Yeah, you got the analytical mind.
Yeah,
you know,
something
yeah.
like that. I wouldn't go that far, but
no,
whatever
I
that may be. And
well
so,
said,
thank you. So Alex is a lot better at kicking the door down, and I'm kind of better at coming in with more facts and more strategy and stuff like that. And
sure.
So that's the long answer to what we do. And we do a lot of things similarly. We work together with ideas for videos and what we can approach different clients with and stuff like that. And so our day-to-days are different every day, which is the best
that's
part of our job.
The best, yeah.
Yeah. And I love doing that side, but like you said, we work very well together.
You guys want to touch on a couple of your clients and maybe talk about some of the recent projects you've been working on, whatever you can disclose in that regard. I mean, we'd love to hear about it. So.
Yeah, so maybe a little learning experience for people out there.
Don't use too many first names of people.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying for somebody listening, if they, you know, this might help. The biggest thing and the most that I've learned is just going out and doing it and traveling. That has been huge. I mean, Jared, you can probably back me up on that. Just going out, like, For example, in the past 3 months, we were in San Diego, California, San Francisco, California, Pismo Beach, California, Scottsdale, Arizona, Miami, just traveling and making videos for car dealerships. And you never know what you can learn and who you can run into. I mean, I remember being in San Francisco, we're on the beach, and I walked past Noah Beck, and I went up to him, and I had a conversation with Noah Beck, and I learned something from that. Or being at the Lamborghini of San Francisco and talking to the general manager there, and him yelling at me, saying, "Why are you disrespecting me by putting a peace sign up behind my head?" You know, I got a little ahead of myself, and, you know, I thought I had this big ego, and it kind of grounded me. I'm like, I still have to respect human beings, you know? And that was a learning experience that I couldn't have learned sitting here in the office or sitting at your apartment playing Fortnite. I mean, you might be able to learn something from your friend on the mic, but, you know, like, it's cool just going out and just sacrificing some of your money. I mean, we got paid for some of the videos. Some of the videos we did on our behalf. Mm-hmm. But it really does, you know, like, spending $1,000 to go travel is well worth it, because what you learn might be worth $1 million, you know?
And you're spreading your outreach, too, you know? Like, now you aren't just in Rocky River, Cleveland, Ohio, but you're in Scottsdale, you're in Miami, you're in San Francisco. Yeah. Like, Andor has touched that. So that's a...
Yeah.
I mean, you're leaving your footprints, quite literally, in the sand. So.
And, as we were in San Francisco for an event shooting the video, we met somebody there who then paid us to create content while we were in San Diego the next day. And so it worked out where we met someone, and then we ended up getting a client out of that, just being out there.
Yeah.
And we could have called him, we could have emailed him 1,000,000 times, he probably never would have responded. But since we were out there doing it, when we were going there, we didn't plan on meeting some guy, and then he would pay us to do this, that, or the other for content. And it just so happened that, you know, that's the kind of thing where you can never plan that. You can never, you know, oh, yeah, when we're going to be in San Francisco, this guy's going to be there, and we're going to meet him.
Yeah.
And, like, it doesn't, that stuff like that doesn't make sense until you're out there doing it. And
yeah.
I like a quote where it's impossible to connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking back. And it's as we look back on our journey, there's so many things that, like, just happened, or we just so happened to run into someone, or we just so happened to meet someone who knows someone who we were trying to get in contact with. There's been so many instances where, looking back, like, wow, that's crazy that, like, the timing just so happened to work out, or we ran into somebody, or we got in contact with someone, or we got an idea, or so many things happened like that where they couldn't have happened if we weren't out doing something.
Yeah.
And so advice, I guess, or a learning lesson for someone listening, just go out there and do it.
Absolutely.
Go out there and be out there, and you really never know what might happen when you're, you know, out there doing something that you love to do.
That's so cool. Like, the two of you always put yourselves out there. You know, like, I remember when you started this company. I remember when you guys were going and speaking. Like, just, you are two of those people that put yourselves out there. You're not worried about what's going to happen or, like, any of the ramifications in a social setting. Like you said, you guys don't go out all that much, like, and drink and party and all that jazz, because you're devoted to this. And that's cool. Like, people recognize that, truly. Even if, you know, like, I'm telling you guys this now, I don't think I've ever said that before, but you get the point. So that's really great. You got to get out there and do it. And
well said.
You sit here, you can only do so much in one spot. It's the reality of it. So, and, like, you keep, like, when you met him in the cafeteria, and now this client out that had you shoot in San Diego, I mean, it's a running trend in your story so far that when you put yourselves out there, you run into people, and you guys have the personability to make it happen. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, touching back on that, just going out, like, here I have this little, he loves doing it as well, just going out and doing things, like, out of your comfort zone.
Okay.
And just with no planning, no nothing, like, just going out and doing it. And when we would do those kind of things, I would write down, like, a story of how something happened from just going out. And I could read, this is the story if you want me to read it really
quick.
Go for it,
please, yeah.
March 3rd, 2021. What a trip. Back on the flight and heading back home from Cleveland, Ohio. It was an amazing 3 days, and I learned a lot and experienced a ton for the experienced a ton for the third time now. Beautiful California. While being out there, we ran into Mike Malak, Logan Paul's best friend. I don't know if you know who that is.
I don't.
He's on the podcast. He's a pretty famous dude. This was a pretty crazy story. Let me explain. I'll call this story Act on the Uncomfortable. So we landed in California on a Sunday around 3 p.m., hopped in our rental car, and began to drive. We were about 1.5 hours into the drive, with some Chipotle in our stomachs. The idea popped in our mind to stop at Logan Paul's house because we saw a sign that said Calabasas on it, and that's where Logan Paul lived. So eagerly Googled his address. It was about 15 minutes away in the opposite direction. We made the collective decision to turn around Logan Paul, here we come. We came around the turn, and there was his 4x4 G-Wagon, jacked up, sitting out front. We did the uncomfortable. Ely and I walked up to the gate and waited. Nothing. As we got back into the car, we began to drive away. A green Aston Martin, or as Ely calls it, an Ashton Martin, comes flying around the corner. It was Mike Malak. This was the time to act on the uncomfortable. Ely opened the door and calmly, yet nervously, says, "Hey, Mike." And then basically they just started talking and chatting with this guy. But the moral of the story is, like, just, again, going out and doing stuff because you can't plan anything. What are the odds that Mike Malak comes turning around the corner? But, again, sitting back at home, would any of that have happened? No.
And the timing of it. Imagine if you guys didn't pull off and decide that, hey, we're going to go the 15 minutes the other way. And if you didn't sit at that house for however long you did outside the gate. Like, imagine if it's a minute shorter, you don't bump into it. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. Right? And I think God helps those that helps themselves, you know. So we could sit here and pray and dream all that we want. But I think just going out and doing it, you know, you're going to get rewarded as long as you're doing it the right way. And, it has definitely shown in our lives, and all glory to God for sure, for where we have came, you know.
And to touch on that real quick, I don't want to get too religious, I don't know.
No, please.
I heard this from a movie, it was a scene, I can't take credit for it, but I forget what movie, but they're talking about when you pray for strength, God doesn't just give you strength, He gives you an opportunity to be strong. If you pray for courage, God doesn't just grant you courage, He gives you an opportunity to be courageous. And that applies for anything. And so I love that. And I think that unless you're looking for signs from God, you won't find them. And there's people that are miserable and saying, God doesn't do this, or God doesn't do that, but they're not looking for signs from God to help them out. And so to capitalize on what you were just saying, you know, we always have prayed, and we've prayed for soccer, for success, for money, even not to go buy crap that we don't need, but to help give back to other people and stuff like that. And so I think that when we pray for, you know, to grow our business, God doesn't just write us a check for $1 million and mail it to our, you know, our business. He puts us in positions to meet people that can help us grow our business, or He gives us ideas that we can then implement that can help a business, and then they blow up, and then we get rewarded because we help them blow up, or stuff like that. And so I think just to capitalize, and a lot of our prayers have been answered, but they haven't been answered for directly what we prayed for. It was for opportunities where kind of what God has blessed us with could kind of pay off. And so stuff like that, I think, has happened. And you wouldn't directly correlate it unless you're looking for that. And so luckily we've been able to kind of have that viewpoint where we're looking for it, and we're kind of keeping our eyes out from signs from God. But it's kind of,
you can look back and connect those dots.
Exactly.
And do you guys pray together? Like, is that something that you guys do?
Yeah, we used to pray before speeches, and we all pray together for sure. I'd definitely say that. I mean, you too, Jared. I don't know if you second that, but I feel like our relationship with God has got stronger and stronger. And honestly, personally, I feel the closer that I am. And I even hear my friends talk about it that are religious, like when they're not reading the Bible as much or they're not as close, they feel that feeling of being lost or confused or maybe anxiety. And honestly, this point in my life right now, I've been pretty close. I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm driving instead of Lil Uzi Vert, like with Craig Groeschel. Jerry can back me up on that sometimes. He's like, oh, another podcast of Craig Groeschel probably. But I mean, I like fueling my mind with that kind of stuff because it's the truth. And I think the truth goes a long way. And like you were saying, you know, we pray to God, and maybe some of the gifts that He's giving us is doing the business in truth and not taking shortcuts and doing it the right way. You know, maybe that's a blessing. You know, that's something that I'm realizing now, like we're doing it in truth, you know. And I think if you do things in truth, you'll automatically have less anxiety and less stress. But what is the truth, you know? And to some people, like me, it might be the Bible, you know, like that. Right. That's the truth there. And I'm not a perfect person at all, but I feel like the more that I follow it and all makes sense, I'm like, whoa, if I don't do that, I feel better. Or if I don't do this, I feel better. Or hey, don't do that, that might hurt you. And it works, you know, like
absolutely.
I feel free, you know, like free spirited.
Your man Matthew McConaughey said, "The truth is only offensive if you're lying." And so basically means that if you're offended by something, you're probably not doing it the right way. So to keep going on what you're already saying, if you're doing things the right way, you're not going to be offended by what happens or what other people say, because you know deep down you're doing you know, what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
You're a big Matthew McConaughey fan.
He has some ringing quotes. He really does. Like the famous hero story that everyone knows. You know, who's your hero in 10 years?
Yeah.
Like, he's
a hero in 10 years.
You ever read his book, Green Lights?
No, I'll have to.
My favorite book.
100%. I admire you guys for reading so much. Like, I am the slowest reader, and it's something like I sit down, I start to read, and then I'm like, oh my god, I don't even know what I've been reading the last two pages. Like, I feel like I read words and don't actually. So it's a slow process for me.
Props to Jared. He's the one that really got me into reading. I mean, I remember, like, what was it, sophomore year of college you started reading? Maybe a little bit
freshman
later.
Freshman year
of high. I'd be like, but when you moved in with me, I'd be like sitting on my phone scrolling through Instagram. I was looking over, he's like reading. I'm like, after a couple weeks, I was like, what is this doing? I'm like, all right, maybe I'll pick up a couple books. And then I started reading, and 5, 6, 7, 8 books deep, you look back at yourself and you're like, whoa,
like, I did this.
Different person.
Yeah.
And I learned. I grew. What was I doing? I was almost embarrassed of myself. And again, all credit to Jared for doing it. And I always hype Jared up about this. He's so good at, like, being consistent at the little steps every day. Mm-hmm. You know, like, whether that's reading for 15 minutes, putting his book away, and then an hour later, another 15 minutes. And
nice.
After, I mean, it's consistent every day. Boom, boom, boom. And then I look back, and he's got a stack of books this tall. I'm like... Dude, nobody's catching up to that. Like,
yeah.
You got Kobe Bryant in the gym over here, except reading books. Like, nobody's catching up. And I'm excited to see where you go and how many more books you read and how much more. I mean, I'm learning from him. He's learning from me, maybe. And
you guys keep touching on that, too, you know?
I
like, it is a little bit. Go ahead. Yeah, where's your turn?
I wanted to touch on that real quick. We've kind of already touched on it, but, like, we work so well together, I think, Alex and I, because we're both good at different things, and it kind of helps each of us get better at certain things. We kind of climb the ladder, like, one ring at a time. Like, one, I don't know, what do you call the things on a ladder?
Step?
Like, one step at a time, I guess.
Step?
Is it a step if it's a ladder? No, it's, I don't know, whatever. One step at a time, though. And, like, when I transferred from Ohio State to Cleveland State, and Alex would work out every day, or he'd run after his workouts or stuff like that. So I moved there, and, like, I'd be working out and he'd be going harder. So I'm competitive. Alex is competitive. You know, we don't want somebody right next to us
beep, beep.
Doing better. Yeah, on the treadmill. If he's running faster, I'd up mine or whatever. And so I would read books and he started reading books and then I would start working out with him. So I got stronger and he got smarter from books. So we both kind of were leveling up at different things and kind of holding each other accountable for what we were doing. And now, even like the other day, we work out together sometimes and we were like tired and one person's like, let's go on a run. And the other person's like, obviously didn't want to, but they were like, I can't say no. So then a couple minutes later, we were out on the run. And we golf pretty often now. And like, I've never really been good at golf, but the loser has to carry the other person's bag. And
nice.
So, like, you don't want to do that. Like, obviously you don't want to lose in the first place, but to make it worse, you have to carry the other person's bag.
Yeah, you're dead.
So, exactly, And so I think I've carried the bag, like, every time this summer so far. I'm not good, but, like, I hate carrying the bag, so it makes me want to play better.
Yeah.
And so then if I might go to the driving range to help get better so that I don't have to carry the bag. But, like, having somebody who can hold you accountable or to make you better at something else is huge. And even I don't think either of us would have played Division I soccer if we didn't go to the same high school, because I was a forward and he was a goalie, so we were to go train and I wanted to score on him and he didn't want me to score because he was playing goalie.
Yeah,
so,
super competitive.
Always very competitive.
I don't get more competitive. I get so competitive with Jared, like, not even, no one else competes to the level of competitiveness that we have. Even like yesterday,
we played pool basketball
at Tawa Island. I mean, people were watching us like around the pool. Like, what are these kids doing?
Yeah,
like, we were like about to fist fight. Like, we get so competitive. We just hate losing.
Yeah,
to each other.
You're like looking at the fans.
Yeah.
You're like, look up Andor.
Video.
We'll take this intensity to your video.
Yeah. You see this energy? Yeah. That's great. You know, when you surround yourself with people that are, like, mine, you surround yourself with people that are driven, and, like, I keep thinking about that, it's that buzz idea right now where it's like, oh, your diet's more than what you consume, but it's the truth. I mean, it's not wrong, and, like, you guys are reading instead of scrolling aimlessly at God knows what on your phone and all those kinds of things. Like, that really is what propels you, and you both have a really high energy, so I'm kind of curious, like, what do you attribute that high energy to, or how do you maintain such a high energy? Especially given, like, you're starting a business, you do all these other things, you're working out all the time, you're golfing and trying to not carry two bags, and, like, every day you come in with a great energy. What is that? How do you do that?
Dunkin' Donuts. Ice coffee.
Is it? Yeah,
I mean, I personally feel like it's having a why, you know, like what's driving you, you know, and what, why do you wake up every single morning?
Yeah.
You know, is there something bigger than yourself, you know, and I think that's definitely what it is for me and for him. You know, we both have big dreams to pay our parents back and give them a life that they've never had, buy them awesome things. And not just that, but like I said, bigger than yourself, you know, shining light on people and maybe being that person that somebody will look up to, like, hey, he did it the right way. Like, maybe I should, you know, stop doing that. Or maybe I should, you know, just like bettering myself to be able to, or bettering yourself to, you know, share your story, or you're telling your story, you know, how are you going to help other people? And, that's probably my answer, and that kind of gives me my energy. I'm like, it's bigger than me.
Yeah, it's that butterfly effect. Yeah, like, you build yourself so that you can build others who do the same, and it just keeps going.
Yeah.
I attribute it to a lot of things, but two specific things. One is proving people wrong, and the other one is proving people right. So my whole life, I'm sure all three of us, there are people that I was never good enough at soccer. I was never fast enough. I never shot good enough. I was never in good enough shape. I was never strong enough. There always were people that told me I wasn't good enough. It could be in the classroom, in soccer, whatever it might be. And so that has always, I've always loved proving people wrong and competing and doing things that people said I couldn't do. When I got to high school, there was no chance I could break a record. I would never start. I would never play. I would never score a goal on varsity. There was things that, like, stuff like that when I would run, that would just play in my mind over and over, and I would just keep thinking about the people that doubted me, wanted me to fail, and then I would have to prove those people wrong. And there was always those kind of people. But then there was also the people that I wanted to prove right, and my family and my close friends and the people that always believed in me, and I never wanted to do something that would make them, you know, doubt me or doubt the support that they gave me or stuff like that. So kind of having those two things that, like, I've always felt like I had, like, a fire burning inside of me. And people that told me, like, you're going to be successful, you're going to do something good, like, that adds to the fire just as much as the people that say, like, you're never going to be anything, you're never going to amount to anything, you're never going to achieve this or that. And kind of that fuel is just kind of, that fire is keep getting fueled by those two different kind of sides.
Yeah, it's a healthy combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of aggravates you to get going, and then it's like, you know what, I love
keeps
these people.
Keeps you
going. That's motivating.
Yeah,
like,
it is. Just making this big fire, dude.
That's right.
Who are some of your influences? Maybe like big scale, small scale?
Matthew McConaughey. No. Definitely my dad, for sure.
He's a hardworking dude.
Hardest working dude. Yeah. So, I mean, my dad, both of his legs are shot. And he wakes up to this day at 4:30 every single morning. And he goes to work. And I remember being in high school, he was on that same routine. And he would come home, he would sit in front of the garage, and he'd wait for me to come home from school. And I'd come walking down the driveway, and my dad would have the biggest smile on his face. And that was like everything to me. You know, like, my dad doesn't have the fanciest car. My dad doesn't have the nicest Ralph Lauren t-shirt. He doesn't care about that stuff, you know. And to me, that, I always look at that and I'm like, he's a perfect role model. You know, I'm very blessed to have such awesome parents, mom and dad, you know, great role models. So, I mean, I've never seen my parents drunk before, so that's probably had an influence on me, you know, because I'm a big believer in lead by example. But my parents did exactly that. So definitely my parents, mom and dad.
Hardworking, authentic, you know, you're seeing all that you're talking about in them.
Yeah.
So it's really special.
Yeah.
They're gonna enjoy hearing you talk about this, you know. I'm serious. It's the same.
So, I don't have like one specific person I look up to, or even a couple weeks ago, Alex was like, who do you look at for like fashion advice? Like, well, who do you like dress after? Like, I don't know.
Bobby,
like, don't
George. Shout out Bobby George. He got his shirt tucked into his pants. No.
I don't know. Like, my parents obviously are very good people. They do everything the right way. I'm very happy that I was raised the way that I was, to do the right thing no matter what, like, the circumstance is. That, and then also a lot of the people that we have worked with in the business world, even, we've gotten pointers from them or seen how they treated their employees or the culture of certain brands and stuff like that. And I think that a lot of that has rubbed off on us. And just even it, and if a company's doing things that we don't agree with, then knowing, let's not do it like that, let's do it our own way or do it better than that. And I don't know, there's not, I like taking
I could have read the same book 200 times, but I would rather read 200 books and get something small from each one.
Yeah.
And so I like kind of looking after a lot of different people so I can get a lot more perspectives and then kind of figure out who I want to learn from and take advice from. Just, I wish I had like a couple people that I could follow and like listen to and kind of do things the way that they did them, but I don't have anyone really specific like that.
What can you pinpoint maybe one specific thing that you think you emulate from someone else that you've taken from an individual?
That's a great question.
And while you're thinking of that, like, I agree with it. There's part of what inspires me with this podcast is just to hear other people's mindsets and the stories that go behind them. Because I think so often we lump into a little teaser for something I'll be coming out with, but like this idea of like either or, it's like we're either this or we're that. And like, I feel like society's going that way. And it's really a simplistic, underwhelming way of looking at the world because people are so complex. So we have a million and one experiences that influence the way we think, the way we do, why we do things the way we do. And we just in this, whatever, 35 minutes so far, you guys have talked about 1,000 different things that have inspired you. And I hope you to do the things that you do and why you do them that way. And that's what like I love to hear about from people, because I think we can all, again, take little nuggets from individuals and infiltrate those into our own lives. So I love that.
I'm gonna answer your question. I'm not gonna directly answer it. Personally, I am intrigued by people that are the best or one of the best at what they do, and it could be anything. So I just read Tom Brady's book. I think he's one of the best football players to ever exist.
Yeah.
I'm
if you don't,
by
you should probably turn off the podcast.
LeBron James, he's one of the best basketball players ever. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan. I'm just intrigued by people that are great at what they do, and it
mm-hmm.
could be anything. And I don't know, my parents, obviously, they've rubbed off on me by just doing the right thing, and no matter what that is. LeBron James is an elite athlete, and he does things the way that he does, and it's obviously attributed to a lot of his success. So Jeff Bezos, he's one of the richest people ever. He's done something that nobody else has done to equate to his level of success. So whatever that may be, I'm intrigued by the best at what that is, whatever they may be doing.
Your open-mindedness with that is awesome. Because think about the amount of people that we know that would be like, oh, Jeff Bezos, and then label him as whatever, and then not read the book. like there's so much to learn from this guy. I don't care if you hate the guy. Like, I'm not saying I love the guy, and you're not saying you love the guy or whatever. Or you hate him one way or the other. It doesn't mean that. Like,
mm-hmm.
you can take so much from him. The same thing, like, it's not like you said you're a basketball guy. You didn't even list a soccer player. And you're like, oh, LeBron, Jordan.
It's probably
like,
bad.
No, but, like, seriously, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's so much to learn from people. What do you think about the idea, like, we're intrigued by just the negativity? Like, we always are intrigued by, say, the Epsteins of the world. I mean, he's kind of a different story because, like, he was so mysterious. But just, like, bad, innate badness, and people are drawn to that, you know? Like, you turn on the news, and it's like shooting or, like, something so negative.
Bad.
It's like, Like, why do you think that is?
They want to make money at the end of the day.
Okay,
it's just natural human tendency. Like, you know, people like to hear or just automatically tune in to bad stuff. They want to...
It's weird.
I don't know if it's because people empathize with it. They're like,
oh,
it's bad.
Yeah.
I'm having bad... I don't know what the answer is. I'm not going to lie, but...
Yeah.
I just think it's easy. It's easy to find bad in the world. It's easy to resonate with bad. It's easy to... turn on your TV and watch something that bad that happens. It's just, it's easy to be lazy. It's easy to just hang out.
I don't watch the news. I really don't. And honestly, like, I almost feel like if you did a test hypothetically on somebody that watched the news and didn't watch the news, I think that person would have more stress and anxiety. I haven't done that test, but I mean, think about it. If you're watching the news constantly, they're always flooding you with shooting here, shooting there. Like, even my mom's like, be careful downtown where you are. And I'm like, Mom, it's fine. Like, I'm just walking. I'm like, it's not, you know, it's because I don't watch the news.
Right.
You know, so I don't let it affect my mindset or what I'm doing. I just kind of go with the flow and don't stress about, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's good or bad.
I do think, though, that there are certain news channels that are good. I just don't want to lump news into one bad category. News bad, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I do think there's good things that they show, and that I don't want to completely write off the news. I think that there's good things, and they help promote good movements and changes and people and stuff like that as well. But there are some negative things that some news channel showing that it's easier to show and it can be bad to just flood your mind with bad things, obviously, but yeah
it's real, it's like, it's crazy. Like, I couldn't imagine just ingesting all that. I don't know, like I'm like you, Jared, I'm much more enthralled by like what Tom Brady has to say, because mm-hmm. that's a dude that's had a lot of success in what he's done, so yeah.
Exactly.
No, I think it's just important what you're soaking up into your mind. I think it's very important. So eating a salad every day, you're probably going to be healthier. Same thing with what you're taking into your brain. If you're listening to all sorts of bad stuff, you're probably going to have an unhealthy mind. You know?
Absolutely. No, totally. So we obviously just had that huge lockdown. You know, like we talked about it a little bit earlier, and not to beat a dead horse that everyone's heard about, but I want to alter the question. So we had the coronavirus lockdown. And that was a reality. So how did you find yourselves changing your business, altering your mindsets, doing different things to become successful or to grow during that time? Maybe individually or as a company?
You want to take it or you want me to take it?
Do you want to go first or second?
Go ahead. Yeah.
I think that coronavirus almost, people can take this bet, it exposed certain parts of society. And so I remember thinking that if I was in high school right now, it would be like a good chance to get better at soccer while other people were just hanging out. And like, if I were younger, I know that I was like doing certain things during lockdown to like get better as an individual. But if I still played soccer, I know I'd be outside playing soccer, going on runs, working out, and like using that free time to get better as an athlete. And I was thinking like, I bet there's other people that are just hanging out or like using that time to watch movies and binge watch certain things and like eat bad food, you know, like hang out, like do, I don't know. To answer your question though, I remember reading a lot. We got a lot of ideas put together for marketing, and we knew that people were at home on their phone, and so social media was growing, and you know, the digital side of marketing was getting bigger and bigger. And so we actually got a couple more clients for social media during that time, and that helped because people were on their phone and they were watching TV, and when a commercial came on TV, they'd go on their phone and they'd be on Facebook or Instagram. And so a lot of companies and a lot of good marketers were airing commercials, but they were also doing social media marketing, and they would complement themselves because people would be at home on their phone more. And so we kind of use that time to read more and learn more and get better, but to also get more clients and help the clients be on, you know, the digital marketing platforms more. So that was kind of a long answer to your question.
No,
I apologize. But
no, it's not at all. I mean, the more content you guys put out there during a time when, I mean, it's just supply and demand, right? Mm-hmm. Like the more you put out during a time when more people are looking at it, the more people are going to see the more content. So that's perfect. Yeah. What do you think, Armin?
Same thing. I just think during it, our business kind of grew. And like you just said, with just depending on how people, their filter on it, you know, whether that was a time for me to hang out, this is my time to just chill, which I guess there's nothing wrong with that either.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's a time for to grow and to level up. You know, we have a lot of free time now. Let's do this thing. And that's how we took it. And it was nice because school, it honestly worked out perfectly for me personally, because he graduated early, a year earlier than me. And I was like, one more year of college. We're going to work business together. He doesn't have school. I'm going to be in school. This is going to be hard.
Yeah.
But COVID hit and everything went online. And this was during when we were traveling all over the country making these videos. And I was able to do all of my schoolwork on the computer.
It's perfect.
So it could not have gone any better for me. As, you know, I don't want that to come off in any bad
way. No, it's reality.
Connotation. But yeah, it worked out well, you know, and opened up free time to level up, to read, to call, get new clients, build new relationships, things of that nature. So.
That's awesome. So awesome. What do you guys project to do, or what do you want to do now that things are kind of opening up again and life is moving past the lockdown stage?
We used to brainstorm a lot more in the future, like big goals, big dreams, which we do have big dreams and big goals, but we haven't really been having those hypothetical conversations as much. It's been more, what can we do today to get better for tomorrow? And then just kind of replicate that. Let's maximize each and every single day now, and then see what happens, because we really can't control it, and we don't want to end up setting this huge big goal and then you don't ever reach it, and then it's like, never get that fulfillment. But if you're loving what you're doing every single day and just focusing on each individual day, just knowing that you did your best, and then just kind of forgetting about the last day and got another fresh day now. Do what you can to maximize it.
I like
it. I don't know if you have a better answer.
That's
or,
it.
Yeah. It's funny. I was student teaching this semester, and...
yeah, you're a teacher. You're
I
a teacher.
Went into the semester, and I'm like, all right, like... Same thing, like lofty goal. I was like, I want to have every kid, you know, learning everything, and like just the typical ambition of a young person, I suppose. And I was like, I want every kid to like turn everything in, and we're gonna have a great semester or whatever. Well, naturally, I was slapped with reality a little bit, and particularly one student was less inclined to turn work in. And so throughout the semester, it was rather an awakening for me to learn how to set goals more appropriately, because when we have goals that are detailed around other people, which is mostly that's going to be a vast majority of your goals when you're working with other people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, of course, it's going to be surrounding about what they do, too. So I was like, okay, for this student, we're going to start it small. Like, I just want this kid to turn in one thing. And if that kid turns in one thing, then we can move on, and hopefully that student can turn in another thing. And then it grows and grows and grows. And then you can set little stones along the way that are essentially lily pads to jump you into further goals, and you can work towards those big goals. So it was really a nice... That was one of the biggest learning experiences for me, was like how to set a goal that is more concrete and directly influenced towards the bigger picture as opposed to just the big picture itself.
Absolutely.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Well, sound effect.
Well said.
Yeah.
So
shining some wisdom over here, Mr. Clark. I love it.
Hopefully, partially.
No, you're an awesome dude. You have a lot of good things to say, and I think a lot of people look up to you.
Thank you.
100%. And I'm excited to see where this whole podcast thing goes, because you were well set out for it. I mean,
thank you.
The way that you articulate your words, and it's going to be cool. I'm excited to follow your journey. 100%.
Thank you. I know. I'm excited to follow
yours,
awesome. Too.
So I was taught before, I want to hype you up a little bit to your listeners.
It.
So
please.
Joe Clark and I knew each other in high school. He was best friends with Jake Bell, and Joe Clark has been the same old Joe Clark that he's always been, and he just has this character, and he just believes in himself, and he never swore in high school. He's still the same guy. I love it, dude. And people like that just are truly themselves go a long way, and that's why I'm just so excited to see what you do. And
yeah, it's been awesome. Like, anytime we would all hang out, I was like, I had so much high energy, and we keep saying, like, high energy driven dude, like, always had stories too. I love people that have stories. Like, when people don't have stories, I'm like, what do you like what do you do? Like, why do you not have stories to tell? Like, you know what I mean?
Share a story.
I know. I'm like, tell me something. Like, I want to hear a story. So, really excited for, you know, both of you. And Jared, I didn't know you as well, but same thing. You know, just driven dude. Always, of course, always hearing about the soccer success. So, that's really cool.
That.
Yeah. Just a quick note on that. What happened with soccer for you guys? Because you were basically done before everything went crazy. And then did you get to play or not really?
We both quit soccer before coronavirus happened.
Okay, so you're both done. So you just played 2 years, and you played 2 years, or did you play at Cleveland State?
I played the spring semester at Cleveland State, and then I hung up the boots and went down to business.
You guys miss it at all?
Certain aspects of it, for sure.
I fell in love with the process, not really the game. I loved grinding, and I could just basically do that same thing now. Shift it over here. I kind of got bored playing in games, I'm not going to lie. I was good at goalie, just like standing back there.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, saving a goal. I don't even know how you guys do that. So, hands off to that. But
I'm happy I'm out of there. My knees were getting bad. I was getting hit in the head, and you know, the private area hurt a lot.
Yeah.
I don't need to throw my body at the ball anymore. I'm pretty grateful, honestly.
It's kind of nice.
So,
step away from it.
Yeah, step away from it. So,
if you could share both of you maybe one piece of information, one piece of advice. You could frame it in any way. Like, if you want to frame it to younger people, if you want to frame it to yourself years ago, the McConaughey idea of the hero, what kind of advice would you share? What kind of thought would you share with anyone that's listening?
Hold that thought. Let me think really fast. So, probably just having integrity.
Okay.
You know, I think that goes a long way. Just doing the right thing behind closed doors when nobody's watching, and knowing that there's a bigger purpose, and that there's, whether, you know, to me, that's God looking over me, and he will be rewarded, you know, and not just that, but being a good person and helping others, and typically you will be rewarded as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's probably just having integrity.
Yeah, you guys keep talking about it. It's important, because if you don't, people are going to, first of all, it'll come out.
Yeah.
Secondly, people don't want to work with you. Thirdly, like, you're hurting other people. What's the point? You know what I mean? It doesn't get you anywhere.
But it's easier said than done. You know, it's
sure.
Hard to do. It's hard to do the right thing when maybe telling, you know, like, for example, we had a client where we Nick Dakar, and, you know, Jared was honest and said, hey, we did this, you know, and that goes a long way, you mm-hmm. know. Now we're respected that much more because, you know, but he didn't, you know, we could have ended up having to pay millions of dollars, who knows, from that, but, you know, he did the right thing, and, you know, it worked out in the end.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, that had to be scary in and of itself.
It was, yeah. It wasn't bad, and there's on, like, a part of a car that you don't, it's like it was on the top of like a light bar, so it you wouldn't know that it was there unless you looked at it. And like he was saying, like it, we could have just left and not said anything, and like somebody else would have had to pay for it, and we just thought it would have been better to be up front. And
totally.
They were very, I give total kudos to how they reacted to the situation as well. They were very professional. They were very happy that we told them, and they respected us for telling them instead of shying away, and they were very, I don't know the right word, accepting and understanding of the situation, and that helped a lot too. So like that was a good sign that doing the right thing does like pay off, and mm-hmm. I don't know, they were very cool about that.
Yeah. Man, that's, your heart had to be pumping.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, big time.
Do you have anything you want to share, Jared? Do you have like a piece of advice, a piece of just a tidbit of information that you want to say?
Yeah, I would just say that like whatever life that people dream of living, it's achievable. And I'm not somebody who's making millions of dollars up, you know, the best at what I do, yelling down, you know, you follow your dreams, chase your dreams. You know, like, I'm somebody that's kind of in that journey right now, and mm-hmm. I'm not that far from anybody else. And so I think it matters more from coming from someone like me who's kind of in that grind, in that journey right now, opposed to people that kind of make it and then are sharing their story or something like that. And so I think the hardest part is just getting started, just the beginning. Maybe it's reading 2 pages of a book or 10 pages or 1 chapter, or if, you know, reading books is something that somebody wants to do, just go buy a book and start reading it. It doesn't have to be the biggest 700-page book in the mm-hmm. store. It could be a sports book. It could be a biography. It could be fiction. It could be whatever that is. Or maybe starting a business, just going and talking to somebody who you know owns a business or runs a business or something like that. Or just start. Just go do something that you're interested in, and you never know where it may take you. And if we never walked into that coffee shop, we never would have had a marketing business. If we never started kicking a soccer ball, we would never end up Division I athletes. You know, we never knew where it was going to take us. We just kind of started, and the rest is history.
And nobody knows. Nobody knows the answer. None of the greats did. You know, they just started doing it, and that's what it is. It's just the compound effect of doing every single little bit every day. And then if you start younger, you're probably going to be better off.
Yeah. Takes me to that story. You guys have probably heard of Kobe Bryant. You guys heard all that? Like all his, he is, and that dude was amazing with his mindset and his just attitude towards things.
He had a little Joe Clark in him.
You think so? Maybe they have a little bit of Kobe
Joe
Bryant.
Clark spark in him.
Appreciate that. Yeah. I love, like, one story about him that's so cool is, like, what did you hear about his high school schedule, first of all? He would get up, go to school, practice, go to school, practice at lunch. He'd, like, play. He's like, I play with the janitor sometimes. I play one-on-one with my coach, you know, whatever. Then finish his day at school, practice, go home, eat dinner, do his homework, do it again. So he's practicing 3 times in the day, and he's like, you know, I figured I did this in high school, I'm practicing 3 times a day. And then, just like you said, the compound effect, then he's like, I realized people that are doing practicing 1 time a day, I'm going to be that much ahead of them, 3 times ahead of them in the same amount of time, like year time.
Right.
Yeah.
So kind of amazing. Special. Yeah.
And even what's interesting with Kobe Bryant is when he was a kid, he was right-handed, and he said that like for the whole summer season he would like really try to shoot and do things with his left hand to get better with his left hand. And he said like there was one summer that he didn't score a single point, and he was just trying to get better with his left hand, and like everybody else was playing better and performing better because they were using their strengths, but he was trying to build up his weaknesses. And so like he kind of suffered through that one summer where he wasn't playing good, he wasn't shooting good, he wasn't scoring any points, but he was getting better with his left hand. And when the next year came around, he was better than everyone else because he could use his left hand and he could go both ways, while everyone else was only trying to improve on their strengths and not improving their weaknesses. So that's just another small
sacrifice
story in Kobe Bryant, where he sacrificed that year to get better at his weaknesses, where everyone else was trying to improve on their strengths. And it obviously went far away, so crazy.
I love like just getting lost in that guy a little bit. Like he's something else.
Yeah.
There's the last Kobe Bryant story I have for you. He went up to, he was practicing before a game. I forget where they were playing, and They might have been at home. Might have been at Staples. Anyway, he was practicing. Him and his trainer. You know, he's practicing, practicing. Well, this guy walks in from the other team. Not a big name. I forget who this guy was.
Sure.
You know the story? Yeah. Shows up, and he's like, he puts on shoes, starts practicing with his trainer down at the other end, whatever. So practicing. This guy said he practiced for, 2 hours, something like that?
Yeah.
And then he's like, all right, so he unlaces. He's got to go to dinner, get ready for the games the next day. And so he still hears the ball bouncing while he's unlacing his shoes. Sure enough, Kobe's still working. He's like, oh, my God. So anyway, the guy leaves. Next day they play. Kobe drops 30 on him, something like that. After the game, he goes up to him. He's like, hey, Kobe, like, why? Like, you were practicing before I got there, and then you were still practicing when I left. And Kobe's like, yeah, I just wanted you to know, like, you'll never outwork me. It's like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? That kind of mindset is powerful.
Outwork people.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Just got to outwork people.
I don't know.
Easier said than done.
So, last question I have for you guys. So, I'm a big gratitude guy, and you guys both talked about it a little bit, but I really think that people who live grateful lives, who recognize the things in their life that are really good and, like, appreciates the struggle of the bad because of the growth that can come from it, tend to just be more productive, tend to be happier, tend to be more holistic people. What role do you think that gratitude plays in your life individually and then maybe collectively as a company, you know, as Andor?
Again, I think gratitude is more just like it's like a filter. You know, like just an Instagram filter. You might think you look good in this picture with an Instagram filter on it, but then say you take that Instagram filter off and now you think you look bad. It's the same thing with like your perspective on life.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can wake up every single morning and put on the right filter or the wrong filter, and that will completely change your life, you know, and how you view things. And I mean, this morning I could have easily woken up and said, man, I have to get up and go to this meeting. I have to get up and do this. Or, no, it's I get to get up and I get to go do this meeting. I get to go do this. I'm grateful that I have this business. I'm grateful that I have this, you know, and in anybody's life, you know, like there's people out there that have way more than I do. And there's people out there that have way less than I do. But again, I think it's just a perspective, you know, just being grateful for what you have. Again, like my dad, you know, he doesn't have everything, but he's got the biggest smile on his face.
Yeah.
He's got a good filter on. That's probably
awesome.
My answer to
that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, and I think it's good to be grateful for what you currently have and, like, be grateful for what you've been through. And no matter what somebody's story is, like, you've had to have gone through certain things and just being grateful for what you do have. And I don't think that if you're grateful for what you have currently, you'll never be grateful for what you have. And you might make $1 million, have the nicest car, but if you're not grateful for what you had to do to get to where you're at or where you're going, it'll never catch up to you. You'll never be grateful. And I think it's very important to be grateful for what you currently have. Be grateful for the beautiful day, the sun is shining, you know, having the opportunity to wear shoes. And there's obviously people that don't have as much as we have, and just having gratitude for what you have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that does play a very important role in, you know, every day-to-day life and business and everything. So it's a good question.
Awesome. It's very grounding. I think
it's
one of the most pivotal mindsets that we can have. So sure.
What about you, Joe? I'm kind of curious to hear your answer.
With gratitude?
Yeah,
you know, for me, I think...
Because you're a very upbeat guy. You're very joyful. You have very good energy as well. Probably more energy than both of us combined.
I don't know about that.
But yeah, I want to hear it.
You guys
are
high school dudes. So.
Trying some light.
Yeah. For me, like, the gratitude thing is essentially that. Like, I really think that, like you guys said, I really think it's a way that you can live your life, that any of us can live our lives in a way that is most accepting and appreciative of who we are. And able to do that for other people too. Like, if we can be the best that we can be, then we can give the best of ourselves to other people. And in order to be the best that we can be, we have to recognize things that are great. We have to recognize the things like, hey, like, this is tough and this might stink right now, but I can see the gratitude perspective is like, I can see something in it that is helpful to me, which again, then can be helpful to other people too. So it's really like taking what is good, taking what is bad, and then harnessing all of that into just this positive recognition of ourselves that can be the best for other people too. Like, that's it for me. I'm like, you know what, like, this can be tough, this can be great, I'm grateful for it. And I think it appreciate, like, you take it at face value too. Like, it's not like, or you take it more than its face value too. It allows you to, like, look into things. So
that's awesome.
That's it for me.
Joe Clark, baby.
That's
awesome.
So one last thing I wanted to close you guys with too is this thought that I had thought of earlier. There's a saying where you pray like everything depends on God, and then you work as if everything depends on you. And that's kind of what both of you talked about.
Great quote.
Yeah. I don't remember who said it. I don't remember anything about it, but it's something
that's
that I think of constantly.
Brain is going over nuts right now.
Right? Like, you pray as if everything depends on God, and you work as if everything depends on you. So Sandor Alex Geierman, Jared Anderson, the company Andor, Deja Vu Movement. Check it all out. Again, on YouTube, I'll be dropping all the links in the description or in the comment below. It depends what YouTube allows me to do. This time, they seem to do whatever they want, so got to work within their parameters. Really appreciate having you guys on. It's been an absolute joy. You guys have anything last closing?
Just thank you, Joe, and I'm excited to see where this goes. And I'm excited when you have millions of followers on here that I was a part of the Joe Clark podcast.
I love it. Thank you so much. Yeah, again, I'm the host, Joe Clark. Thanks for tuning in. This has been another episode of Chats with Clark. Be sure to tune in next time. Give us a like, give us a follow. Please leave us a review, and thanks for listening.